Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. What I'd like to cover is looking at the interaction between risk and governance in the public sector, and in particular to suggest to you that many of the mechanisms that exist, rather as David Cleveley has just hinted, aren't actually terribly fit for purpose. So, and perhaps I should just add, whilst I'm billed here as Parliamentary Office of Science and Technology, I am an external board member of that, but I'm speaking on my behalf and not on their behalf before they get taken apart by the Public Accounts Committee. So, what I would like to do is just give you some background and context. I actually come from the private sector. I'm back in the private sector, but I spent a very interesting 7 years in the public sector as an undersecretary, first in Department of Trade and Industry and then in the Cabinet Office, and that's what I'm going to draw on. That did actually finish a little while ago, like 11 years. I did do a sanity check this week with colleagues who are still in the civil service, and all the problems I experienced 11 years ago are still there. So they remain valid. I want to look at what I think are some fairly fundamental flaws in the governance frameworks and also at a problem with imbalance of power. And I'm also going to have some fun at the expense of the airline industry. I don't think any of them linked to Lockheed Martin. I think we're okay. But they do kind of draw on our previous speaker as well. So I'd like to give some perspectives on risk. These are my favourite quotations on risk. I like Goethe and Machiavelli. But the one I really like is this one. Business without risk is like farming without water. And I think it sums it up beautifully. Risk is at the heart of what we do. It's whether we can identify it, manage it, alleviate it, that we run with. So let me give you a personal perspective on risk, because sometimes these risks actually come home to roost in a big way. This is the agency that I used to run, which was part of DTI. It became part of Ofcom a few years ago. It's interesting because this is what happened to its headquarters building when one of those risks came home to roost. So, you know, sometimes even in the public sector, bad things do happen, and sometimes they happen quite physically. Amusingly, for our friends in the insurance industry here, normally that risk would have rested on the public sector in terms, because government carries its own risk. However, we had very cunningly and without any malice aforethought done a deal on this building in Docklands and had supplier-funded fit-out, so it was leased, and all the risk was actually sitting in the private markets, not on the government. Also, because we'd fitted blast film to all the windows, nobody got killed, which was actually a more significant achievement. So let's just look at risk. It's an essential element of private sector business. The public sector is no different, ladies and gentlemen, except, I have to say, that management of ministerial, or better yet, Secretary of State expectation is often more challenging than, in my experience, than managing those of other stakeholders in the private sector, where I sit on a number of quoted company boards. And the crux of success is still how risk is identified, managed, controlled, and in the public sector, staying one step ahead of the ministerial agenda is usually a good idea. So to begin at the beginning, this is where we have some fun with the airline industry. This is a rather dry subject, so I'm trying to give some backdrops that are perhaps rather more interesting. I think this one says, don't test the foam suppression system in the hangar when the aircraft are in it. Okay. So I was appointed in 1993 to run that agency. The Treasury, bless them, could not really accept that anyone who came from the private sector could possibly understand government accounting. So they made a mandatory condition of my appointment that I went on a 3-day course on public sector finance. The only useful bit of that was the last half day, which was on appearing before the Public Accounts Committee, featuring Robert Sheldon, who was the then PAC chair. And I have to say that I thought this was an introduction hinged on the presumption of failure, that on your first day you're told how to survive before the Public Accounts Committee. I've always felt for this guy. He actually clearly landed perfectly on that lake and then taxied to the one part where the ice wasn't strong enough to hold him up. I felt like that on a number of occasions, I have to say, particularly in front of ministers. So Lord Sheldon I mentioned, he's still around, but his words of wisdom were, there were three things that will give you a starring role before my committee. Leading an executive agency, relocating your headquarters, or renewing your IT systems. I'm looking at Julian, you probably had a similar experience. I was busy doing all three. It's your fault that plane came down. Right. So I'd rather left a challenge to my successor. This one is subtitled, Probably You Should Unload the... You should get the loading of your cargo holds the right way round. I'm told they did remove the pilot from there with a cherry picker, which came up to the front entrance. Now, I actually managed to avoid appearing before the PAC, but my successor was summoned instead of me, which will show you one of the little trends in this system. I'd actually contracted a very successful public-private partnership for the IT services of my agency. I won't labour through it. It recovered all its cost in the first 12 months. Quality improved everything else. So why were the PAC worried about this, the Public Accounts Committee? Well, I'd run 200% over budget on the legal costs. So clearly budgeting was awful, despite the fact it was a roaring success and recovered all those costs and everything else in the first 12 months. So rather than summon me, they summoned my successor, as he was now the accounting officer for the agency. So again, this is an interesting characteristic of this system, which is prosecuting the innocent. I did volunteer to appear, but they said, oh, absolutely not. It's got to be the current accounting officer who has to explain your failures as the past accounting officer. So I think there are some flaws in the fundamental framework here. This is one Delta have been trying to get off the internet for a long time. You really shouldn't start your engines quite so close to the freight containers. This all came to a head a few years ago when I drafted something jointly for the then Director General of the IOD and the then President of the then Institution of Electrical Engineers, now the IET, to the current Cabinet Secretary, Gas O'Donnell. And we said, you really need to clarify the responsibilities of your accounting officers, because at the moment, the way the whole governance system works makes absolutely certain that the reforms you want to bring in will fail. So if I'm sitting there as the accounting officer for Department X, I'm going to make sure that I don't have any external dependencies, because if there's an external dependency, say I share my back office functions, which is a very popular idea in Whitehall at the moment, with some other place, they make a mess of it. Does the head of the other place that messed up the back office functions appear before the Public Accounts Committee? No, I do. And that is kind of a career-limiting thing to do. So at present across Whitehall, the way in which risk is identified, managed, the way in which governance is applied is directly at odds with what they're trying to achieve in policy terms. So it probably won't entirely surprise you to find it's failing. We got a wonderful reply from Sir Gus to that, to the Director General and the Chief Executive. Basically, he said, trust me, I'll fix it. As of yesterday, essentially nothing has happened. And it's only been 3.5 years. More fundamental flaws in the framework. Again, across Whitehall, there's been this wonderful culture, and I, by background, am an engineer, this wonderful culture of this pursuit of the technological magic bullet. It's a bit like the models we heard about earlier. There's nothing that can't be solved by a more suitably sophisticated model that takes the pain of having to make decisions away from me. Okay? So, invest in very large IT systems. But at exactly the same time, you completely forget that the IT systems aren't the major cost. The major cost is the people and process to make those systems effective. Whoopee, we invest in the technology, we don't invest in the IT systems, we don't invest in the people and process. What happens? It fails. So you blame the technology. That has happened time after time, again, across Whitehall. So again, the structures, the governance mechanisms are simply wrong. So let's look at imbalance of power. Yes, he really should have stopped a tad earlier, I think. How do you achieve, particularly when you're in your second or third term of government, a balance of power between a Secretary of State and a Permanent Secretary? For those not from the UK, the Permanent Secretary is the most senior civil servant in a government department. I'd like to give you an example. This is a real example, rather painful one in the UK. It was called Family Tax Credits. It was the very favourite policy of our then Chancellor, our now Prime Minister, Gordon Brown. He insisted that the Treasury, now HMRC, implement it. The Permanent Secretary and the Board went away to implement it. As they tried to do this, every single indicator on the project was at red. In other words, all the data gathering, all the modelling said, this is impossible and is going to be a disaster. So they sat down and said, but the Chancellor wants it. And we're all frightfully clever chaps. We'll make it work. And of course, it was a complete and utter shambles. The permanent secretary lost his job, and so on. But the reason was that there's an imbalance of power which says, can I really tell my political master that actually what he wants is not achievable? And if I do, will he get somebody else who says it is achievable? There's a balance to be struck there, of course, because you don't want your permanent secretary, a la Sir Humphrey, actually frustrating your legitimate policy ends. So again, in our civil service here in the UK at the moment, I would argue there is a breakdown of trust and there's a breakdown of responsibility. Ministers think that senior civil servants are there to frustrate them. Senior civil servants don't feel strong enough to actually tell ministers when what they want is unachievable in the timescales and at the costs that they want to achieve it. And the result really isn't very clever. So, quickly, some final thoughts. I do like this one. I think it's the only fake in the bunch. When I was in the IOD just before the last election, there was a big desire to have a go at this with Photoshop and to put the faces of the current Chancellor and the current Prime Minister on them. Never mind. So, the unification, management and control of risk and accountability is at the heart of all successful operations in both the public and the private sectors. If the way in which you assess the risk, the way in which you communicate risk, the way in which you're measured, the whole governance structure is wrong, then your system is going to be seriously deficient. And that's what we see at the moment, the way accounting officers are held responsible to Parliament, can make or break cross-cutting business change initiatives. At the moment, it breaks them. It's very simple. You'd have to be a very, very, very brave permanent secretary to take on all those external dependencies and the very likely starring role before the Public Accounts Committee when something for which you have no control goes wrong. So there clearly is a need for a much more robust process for assessing and feeding back implementation risk of major policy options to ministers. And I think the incoming administration, which will come in here in 6 months' time, will have to address those issues because we now have a legacy of failures across our government systems, a genuine desire to drive efficiency, and all of that is frustrated by the structures and governance which exist today. So that's it, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to download this... I just thought I'd show it doesn't take new technology to have a really good disaster. It's probably too small to read. The sign on the station is the Gare de l'Est. This is my homage to the French. Clearly a bad day at the office for the train driver. But I reckon, looking at that engine, probably people here know better than I guess about 1850. But really a very bad day at the office. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any questions from the floor you can take?
Thank you.
for Mr. Sheldon.
Yes.
As you say, that there was a great...
You're measured, the whole governance structure
trap you on some trivia.
Is wrong.
One of the interesting
then your
points
system is going to be seriously deficient. And that's what we see at the moment. The way accounting officers are held responsible to Parliament
legal position was,
can make or break cross-cutting business change initiatives. At the moment, it breaks them. It's very simple. You'd have to be a very, very, very brave permanent secretary to take on all those external dependencies and the very likely starring role before the Public Accounts Committee when something which you have no control goes wrong.
The point is, in some parts...
So there clearly is a need for a much more robust process for assessing and feeding back implementation risk of major policy options to ministers. And I think the incoming administration, which will come in here in 6 months' time, will have to address those issues because we now have a legacy of failures across our government systems, a genuine desire to drive efficiency, and all of that is frustrated by the structures and governance which exist today. So that's it, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to download this... I just thought I'd show... It doesn't take new technology to have a really good disaster. It's probably too small to read. The sign on the station is the Gare de l'Est. This is my homage to the French. Clearly a bad day at the office for the train driver. But I reckon, looking at that engine, probably people here know better than I guess about 1850. But really a very bad day at the office. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any questions from the floor?
I've appeared before select committees in the House of Commons, in the House of Lords,
and the Scottish Assembly.
Yes.
And when, as you say, that there was a great...
You're measured, the whole governance structure is wrong, then your system is going to be seriously deficient. And that's what we see at the moment. The way accounting officers are held responsible by Parliament can make or break cross-cutting business change initiatives. At the moment, it breaks them. It's very simple. You'd have to be a very, very, very brave permanent secretary to take on all those external dependencies and the very likely starring role before the Public Accounts Committee when something for which you have no control goes wrong.
Do you want time for one more?
So there clearly is a need for a much more robust process for assessing and feeding back implementation risk of major policy options to ministers. And I think the incoming administration, which will come in here in 6 months' time, will have to address those issues, because we now have a legacy of failures across our government systems, a genuine desire to drive efficiency, and all of that is frustrated by the structures and governance which exist today. So that's it, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to download this... Oh, sorry. I just thought I'd show it doesn't take new technology to have a really good disaster. It's probably too small to read. The sign on the station is the Gare de l'Est. This is my homage to the French. Clearly a bad day at the office for the train driver. But I reckon, looking at that engine, probably people here know better than I guess about 1850. But really a very bad day at the office. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any questions from the floor we can take?
Thank you.
However, the vehicle of this is our...
As you say, that there was a
you're measured, the whole governance structure is wrong, then your system is going to be seriously deficient. And that's what we see at the moment. The way accounting officers are held responsible by Parliament can make or break cross-cutting business change initiatives. At the moment, it breaks them. It's very simple. You'd have to be a very, very, very brave permanent secretary to take on all those external dependencies and the very likely starring role before the Public Accounts Committee when something for which you have no control goes wrong. So there clearly is a need for a much more robust process for assessing and feeding back implementation risk of major policy options to ministers. And I think the incoming administration, which will come in here in 6 months' time, will have to address those issues, because we now have a legacy of failures across our government systems, a genuine desire to drive efficiency, and all of that is frustrated